Hello, and welcome to Scuttlebutt, the War Movie Review Podcast. We're happy to have you with us as we take a look at films from the dawn of cinema to today. We aim to provide a raw and unapologetic review of each film's cinematography, historical accuracy, and delivery. In the process of analysis, certain details will be revealed. These spoilers are only divulged to ensure a fair assessment of each film.
We travel to the Somme this week with Jean-Pierre Jeunet's 2004 film, A Very Long Engagement. This week, Brian was left in no man's land and his whereabouts are unknown. But I am joined by Mike A.
Hello.
And Nate.
Bouton.
That's the French lesson I learned, a couple weeks ago from you, so I'm using it effectively now.
Bouton. Yeah, that means fuck, basically.
Bouton.
Bouton pays. Fucking country. Mm. Yep. Merde means shit.
Merde.
I knew that one.
Yep. There was a few times they said merde and it wasn't merde.
Well, it's kind of like scheiße in German. Like, right. It can mean fucking.
Okay.
Instead of like shit. Like, it's the way you say it.
It's one of those languages. Context. Yeah.
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 For sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's my understanding of it. Cause, But, all right. So, what did you guys think?
Strange movie. Not a bad movie at all. It had a lot of things in it that I thought were really, really good. Emotional too. Emotional movie.
Very.
Not what I was expecting. Pretty unique in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good. I'm not going to say I loved it, but there were a lot of things in it that I liked.
I was really expecting like Passchendaele 2.0.
not what this is.
yeah. Just by like the cover art and just, you know, a love story, you know, themed-ish. I was very wary when it said war/romance.
Mm-hmm. But you go into it knowing that it's
right. Yeah.
Yep.
But I mean, even if I didn't know that, this plays a lot bigger. It's not what I was expecting. It threw a curveball in its delivery system. There are a few things that are very French.
Yeah.
Very French. And its way of French storytelling. But I will say, just as a just a cover all basis comment here, I was surprised with what it delivered. I was very surprised with the quality of what we particularly look for, to my knowledge, of World War One warfare and interpretation of stuff. I really liked how they did everything. It felt very, very high budget, very real, very everything. There's a few things I'd be like, that's like a romance ploy, but we've had to sit through Passchendaele. So I'm happy. You know what I mean? Like I can take this. I think I really enjoyed it. Would I watch it again? Probably not. But I was very. But that's just because of how things flow and everything like that. If I would recommend it, I probably would. But it's that kind of feeling. It's like I think what Mike A said. It's like there's a few things. It's like okay, but for the most part, I liked it. What about you, Mike?
Yeah, I'd seen clips and I think I had watched about half of it like freaking 10 years ago or something like that.
This movie's 04, right?
04, yep.
Yeah, okay.
And
for being an early aughts movie.
Dude, it was and yeah. Especially a French movie, it's like okay. And no, when I was watching it today, it was a lot like for the first time watching it all the way through. Actually, I didn't think it was bad at all. Like, I thought, like you said, it's like a surprisingly decently done film. And the romance slash war thing, I think there's also mystery in there. Because it's solving a mystery. That's the whole point of the film.
That's why I couldn't place it, but the moment you said it, yep, it's like a suspense mystery.
Right, because it's like, you know, and it's based around a real situation that probably happened around a very real historical event, and it was just the way it was presented was not over the top. There was no, I really appreciated that there was no gratuitous nudity.
Yeah, that's true. There wasn't.
There was banging, there was sex, but it wasn't like, there wasn't like tits hanging out. It wasn't a distraction from the film. It was relevant to the storylines.
There wasn't a dick in the shower.
Yeah, but like that.
No, I'm just saying there wasn't. I know, but like any European film, there's always a dick in a shower somewhere.
Sure, but like that's not gratuitous. You know what I'm saying? Like
I do. Yeah,
it's gratuitous like sex, nudity, and like, you know, getting. It's not a porno. You know, it's not softcore porn. It's like,
Jodie Foster proved me wrong, but you know, it's...
I literally was
sorry. I'm interrupting
like,
your intro, but I had to say
you
that.
You are,
yeah.
but that's relevant, and then I'll get back on, and then we'll finish up my intro. But like, I was like, that looks just like Jodie Foster, and I hadn't looked at any of the fucking cast or whatever. And I'm like, that looks just like Jodie Foster. I didn't know she could speak French. Like very well.
Yeah.
And so anyway, that was a cool thing. There was a lot of little cool things in there. There's a lot of actors that we've recognized from other films as well. And it's like, the overall story, it kept me enthralled. I was like, okay, so are you going to actually find your fiance? Is he alive? What do you do? It's like a mystery, a romance, and a war film all mixed into one. And I think that was pretty cool. Like, I've never seen any... Like you said, Nate, it's very unique. And it's like, I've never seen anything like this. And also the fucking... We'll get into that, but like the actual scenes of war, there are some things I can nitpick, which we can get into. But overall, it's like... Yeah. I mean...
Yeah.
It is what it is. So, yeah.
Yeah, I thought the battle scenes, if we want to touch on those, were very well done. One shot that I really liked was when there's the artillery just tearing the place up, and a shell lands next to a trench, boom, and then the trench wall just goes,
yep.
Like, you know, just like the explosion inside the ground pushed all that out.
And there are
so
many stories of things like that happening and people getting buried alive and they're trying to get them out and they can't.
Yep. Yeah.
They suffocate under dirt. And yeah, it's this, I don't know what the fuck. So it's 2004.
Yeah, I'll look up some budgetary stuff too.
Yeah, please do. They touched on so many things that they must've read, you know, like Storm of Steel or other memoirs and stuff from the First World War, because there was things in here that most other World War One films do not even touch on. And they were in here, and this is not necessarily a war film all the way.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was really interesting. So
the intro really had me hooked, when it's showing what each man did. That was really cool. I like that a lot. And the guy, you know, tries to beat off a rat and his
Ruby goes off.
It goes off in his hand. And like another guy, you know, the self-mutilation thing is big. And this guy sitting next to the machine gun, just staring at it as it's going off. And then he just puts his hands on the barrel. It's just like, oh my God. So that's that stuff that really hooked me. But the next, like, after that initial, you know, opening statement, you know, that then it kind of, it went to the, you know, to the our protagonist and her upbringing and everything like that. And that's when it kind of like started to get a little strange for me. And
how so?
Just that, at first I was like, okay, now we're following this. But then it's like, now I'm like, when is this going to go back to that story? And it kind of, this movie, it was pretty long. And
oh, yeah.
And
the title has that word in the state, you know, the title. So, yeah.
Well, rightfully so, I understand that. I still would have cut some things down, but in my opinion, yep. that whole, that like, you get the intro, and then there's like a period from like, I don't know, the 2/4 of the way in or something like that, where it starts to kind of like go through, and like these weird bits of humor and stuff. And I'm just, again, what kind of Nate said, there's parts of it that feel kind of very French, if you want to, you know,
yes,
say that.
I agree.
And,
I agree. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just like, where's this going now? And after the halfway mark, once it like got to where that guy arrives at the house to say, hey, you know, that's where it picked up again, in my opinion.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
but there is a weird moment, like right before the halfway mark where, and there's like this thing where the girl is, you know, is killing these guys who was responsible for her man's death and stuff. And,
yeah,
and these very kind of elaborate contraptions and such. And I'm just like, elaborate ways of killing people and such.
Not really elaborate.
The glasses,
the glass of the gun, yes. That's
the glass of the gun that she shoots the thing and it like so that impales
dude,
the guy.
If you shot
like
a fucking mirror back then, they were really heavy and they were.
I would say the glass thing would be just, I want to make you suffer vindictive killing. I would say the pistol belt is a little weird.
In my opinion, it's very like
French
theatrical.
It's very theatrical.
Yep. It's not really.
I agree. The pistol scene is like, when I saw that, I'm like, okay.
It's like, well, why that whole thing with the glass, like, just shoot the guy. Like, what's
right,
the point
like,
of
just
that?
Pull out your fucking pistol and shoot him.
Yeah, I didn't.
But he also had
like
a gun,
weird.
And like, if you pull out a pistol, he's gonna shoot you first.
I guess so, yeah. It's just,
but whatever, it was very theatrical. I will agree with you on that.
It's very French.
Yes.
Okay, it, I mean, yeah. So
that's
that
very
stuff
European
I was always kind of
theatrics
like,
to me. Yeah.
As right. far as shooting the mirror, that's a more personal level of like, I want you to suffer.
Yeah.
What is the symbolism? Symbolism is just from a quote. It's a quote in that movie. I can't remember what the symbolism.
What the fuck is that movie?
I can't remember what it is either. But I'm glad you got that. I can't remember what a movie it is from.
I just cannot. No,
I remember hearing
yeah.
that.
But anyway, no. She shoots the mirror. I
she
get
shoots
that.
The mirror in the
and
shoots
then,
him in the head and the reflection.
And all the shards
and all
come
the
down.
Things come down. And
right.
The, yeah.
Right. And it's like, okay, that's really fucked up. But I guess he deserved it. Because he was the one that fucking, she knew that he withheld the papers saying that they were pardoned. And it was like, that's unforgivable. And I agree. I do agree with that.
Oh, I remember what that's from. Boondock Saints, William what? Defoe. That's
yes.
what it is.
The yes.
What is the symbolism?
Yeah.
So some of that stuff, like, I don't know, if I were going to watch this, like, you know, as like a, like, if this movie was being prepped for release, I'd be like, all right, we got to cut like 25 minutes out of this movie.
That's I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. There's some stuff. There's like way too many in my parts where like guys are like, you know, telling her, oh, this can't be done and stuff like that. And I get it. It's the whole point is that it's really tough to find this guy after everything that's went through, after everything that's happened. And, you know, she's not going to give up no matter what, but that's just a personal taste, you know, personal preference kind of thing. Overall, I thought a lot of scenes in it were really good. A scene that I really liked actually was when they go back to the battlefield and it's a big farm field now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that scene and the guy who was there.
And it's two years after it ended.
Yeah, and this guy's like, I can't even believe this is the same place. You know, I can't recognize it at all. And this guy's like, yeah, we had to bury all this shit and there's still stuff
yo,
that we find
where
out.
Where are all
there.
The trees? Well, we use them to fill in the trenches.
Right. That stuff you I know? Thought was really cool.
I mean, cause yeah, it's like, you know, that did happen. People went back.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, it's basically like France is a little bit bigger than Wisconsin. It's like me going down, taking a 5-hour drive to go to the center of the state or the southwestern or southeastern part of the state at a battle that I was at. And it's like, oh, it's all changed now. So it's like, it's not far fetched at all to have somebody go back and then go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, the last time I was here, it was completely different. I don't know where the fuck I am.
Yeah, I liked that a lot. That was really cool.
Yep.
There were some, you know, really interesting, definitely, you know, French filmmaking tactics and all that kind of stuff within this film. But, you know, there was some disjointedness And I think that's more of like the memories and the stuff. Like for me, if we want to talk about something like I didn't really particularly care about, was like the whole kid falling in love as kids kind of stuff. Like I understand the points and why.
But it's also advertised as a romance movie, and I get that too. But it's like, okay, all right.
I mean, like, yeah, people would be like, why? People who like romance movies would be like, I skipped through all the war parts just to watch the romance parts. You know, it'd be the same thing, vice versa. So right. I'm not going to dox the film on that. Just for me, that what I was kind of like, oh my God, can we like scoot forward? Was during that, was yep. that a little bit. But I liked what you meant, like, by the suspensefulness, the mystery stuff. Like, I liked, like, the whole, like, you know, searching for the records, being sneaky about it, you know, the whole entire, I thought was so impressive were the sets and the look of everything looking like early 1920s. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
Wow. Like phones and everything, like nothing looked out of place, at least to me. I mean, I'm sure there's something somewhere, but scanning through the whole thing, it's like, oh my God, like that looks exactly what I see in, like, you know, the older cities here on the East Coast that I know were around 1920. It's all that, you know, agriculture and all that other stuff, or agriculture, fuck, architecture, wrong A word, damn it. And like the phone boxes. Oh, I was like I was nerding out on those phone boxes.
They fucking, so you pull up the budget, right?
Yeah, it's $56 million.
I believe it.
Yeah, but that's quite, I mean, it's big, like that's big, but we've seen more films with higher budgets do worse. So much worse.
Yeah,
so much worse. Like yeah. we'll get into the practicals, but dude. The practicals,
yeah,
you can tell
sure.
when something is CG because it's 04, but
yes,
but
yep, you
but
can.
it's not debilitating. It's
Dude,
not Flyboys.
We'll just talk about this really quick. The artillery strikes. Okay, there was no fireballs. It was a flash and then a shitload of dirt,
mm-hmm.
and fragments. And then there was that one scene. Do you guys
where
remember
all the
that
frag
where it was
goes
like
into like the trench?
And it, the sound it makes, where
yeah.
it's like,
yeah.
and it just
yeah, and
fucking
see, like,
right by their head.
Yeah.
And it's big chunks, like huge. And the one guy's just sitting there like he's losing it. Right. It's like, that was a fucking awesome scene. Whoever their advisor was a great
I'll
advisor.
See if I can find...
Dude, that scene was fucking terrifying. Cause it's like,
yeah.
But again, there's no like big explosions. There's no like, you know, fucking, you know, fire charges going off. It's artillery. That's what artillery looks like in real life.
Yeah.
It's just a fucking bunch of dirt flying up after a quick flash.
Yeah. And you could actually see, like, for a fraction of a second, the actual, like, bomb, the actual, like, shell.
Yeah, they did a few of them like
yeah.
that, yeah.
Dude, and that to me, it's like, it's very unique because it's like, it's a romance movie, right? Mystery movie and war movie combined.
Mm-hmm.
But they put $56 million. That's why I say I believe it, is because they had to put so much fucking money into just the combat scenes, much less the sets for the civilian world.
I know, taking a look at the Wikipedia on this movie, it is based off of a book. So,
mm-hmm.
okay. a book made, I think it was in 93. So, it probably takes a lot of its influence on the book, but again, for it to be a French World War One film, man, you know, at 90 something years old anniversary at that point, in 04, it's really impressive to see all of the, you know, uniforms, the equipment. I didn't see any weaponry wrong. That were in the hands of people who shouldn't.
No, that's the thing, is like they're carrying Berthier 0715s.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if the 80th Regiment, I tried to do research, you know, quick, but like, I don't know if they carried them or they had labels, but like, it's, you know, it's a crapshoot at that
right,
point.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, the 0715s were fucking amazing. The uniforms, there's like a couple little nitpicky shit that I could get
right.
into. Because I'm not a French World War One expert at all. I know the very absolute basics. But the Horizon Blue, the fabric they used for their costumes were fucking perfect. It was absolutely amazing. And the gear they had on, they had very basic gear on. A lot of the guys had packs on, which is very common. It's kind of like the U.S. guys. Like, if you got a squad going over the top, you're going to have one or two guys carrying a pack with all your shit that you need to sustain yourself in the enemy trench or position for a day or two until they all come up. And they did that. And the packs, from what I saw, looked all correct. And then the guy that was the cook, he was carrying they would issue one guy per squad, if I remember correctly, a big ass like mess kit looking thing, which is what they had in the film when he's like giving them soup
with the very many tiers and stuff like that thing. Or?
No. It was just a huge looking like mess kit. And it was just
when he asked for chocolate and honey and all that stuff.
Okay. Exactly. Yep. That scene. And so I forgot what it's called. It's like the 1893, whatever. But one guy would carry that. One guy would carry an entire loaf of fucking bread on his pack. And then that would be your squad's rations for the duration of like a couple days, right? That's how the French army was rolling still in 16 and 17. And so that was awesome to see that. It was so cool to see that. The helmets, yeah, definitely late 16, early 17, they would have had them. And the Berthier rifles, some units were equipped with them. Others had labels. I don't know the exact like niche details of like the 80th Regiment, what they would have had. But okay, at least it was consistent.
Right. At least they weren't like, you know, having mass 36s or something. So...
No, they all had 0715. Yeah. And that's really good. Yeah. And
what
then like
you,
the, go ahead,
what do you think of the brief German stuff that we saw?
Real helmets for once.
Yeah, I didn't see any weird slumped repros that you always yell at me about when we're
Like they were then
they weren't on screen that much, but yeah.
But when the thing is, they also looked really big on them, and that was completely fucking normal. Because a lot of the times, they would get issued helmets in the field, and they're like, whatever we have, we have. And that was consistent throughout the entire war for every side, whatever. Like, and so it was a huge size 66 helmet on this kid that was probably requiring a 62, you know? And he was wearing that big helmet, and I'm like, that's a size 66. The rivets are in the right place. The one he had was Austrian, which is weird. But the one kid, like the guy got bayoneted.
Yeah.
That was an Austrian helmet, which is interesting. But the rest of them, no, it's like they were legit. You can just tell from the shape and the way that edges rolled and everything that's a legit, you know, fucking helmet. And they got them, and that was good. The uniforms, as far as I could see, when they were on screen for the little bit of time, looked fine to me. Some of them had, you know, red Tessa, which was infantry until about 1915. Hmm. But they still had all these shoulder boards and shit, all this insignia. And then in 1915, they started going to white for infantry, which still carries over today. And but you would still see a lot of that shit. They had the regimental numbers, which I couldn't see really well, and I wasn't paying attention. But no, the Germans... very basic gear, MG08s.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see any like Berthiers with like the post-war mag extensions and all that other stuff.
The 16s,
I didn't see any of that.
You wouldn't have seen those. The one thing that what the hell was I gonna say about? There's one thing that I'll probably remember it later. Like, there's one thing that like. There's a couple things, actually, that, like, would not have been at that time period. Oh, the overseas caps, the cunt caps, the bonnet de police, as the French call them, right? Those really didn't come out until about late 17, early 18 in force. That's a little bit early, but that's just a
what would they have? Time. They would have had, like, the... Oh, okay, yeah, the kepi. Yeah, okay.
Or nothing, or a helmet, you know? Yeah. And so those didn't really come out until, you know, as far as I know, I'm not an expert. Again, if somebody's listening to this in the comments, tell me if I'm wrong. But as far as I know, excuse me, the Bonnet de Police did not really start seeing widespread, like, issued service until late 17 to 18. So that was one little thing. Not a fucking
right.
Deal
not not a. Oh my god! Why are you wearing a fucking blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. No, it's like whatever. Like, it's cheaper because like this fucking Kepi that I have was, they're hard to get because you got to get them custom made. Even at that point, like you had to get. Whatever.
Well, it's interesting. I guess talking about practical effects, as I mean, since I normally eyeball the effects and the editing and stuff, like editing wasn't. Was pretty good. I mean, cinematography was French. You know, it had
yellow.
But hey, it's better than blue, which would have been most of the 2000s. But yeah, very yellow.
yep.
And you know, it had a feel, and I think yellow comes from it being a romantic movie as well. I think that's where that comes from.
Yeah, yellow is back where home is, and then. The gray and fucking almost black and
yeah,
white still colors
is the front stuff. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, there is that change of that. Yeah, no, it's very, very French. There were some very French hard cuts. You know.
Yes,
yeah.
There were.
You know. Yep. But it wasn't disjointed. I didn't need a manual to follow this story. Which is what I liked about it. Even though it did kind of give me some French film noir college flashbacks. It wasn't awful. It was I never was. The only time I was bored again was the highly romanticized, like, as we're kids, look at our bond together. That's where I was bored. But for the rest of the thing, like the mystery suspense stuff, I didn't once fast forward it. I was actually very engaged with it because I think what I liked about it was the constant influence of things coming into play, like when the like I think it was Mike A said, when the cook comes back into the story, that pulled me in.
Yeah, and it's when everybody who was there and knew something about the story came back, and they're like, some of them reacted like, I don't want to fucking talk about this, or you know, I'll just fucking get in touch with you later, I guess.
Right, yeah.
You know, it was the thing of like. Everybody reacted differently to it, you know, who was there, and they didn't know what the fuck happened. And it's trying to piece together the story of what the fuck did happen. Is he alive? Is he dead? I just, you know, like, she wanted to know. She needed to know. Rightfully so, you know. It's like, they're engaged. That's the whole title of the fucking film. It's like, okay, if he's dead, I can move on, perhaps. But if he's alive, I have to find him. You know, and it's like, well, you're talking to all these people. And then I did love those scenes where that dude was in the house and like they invited him in and he's eating food and he's just fucking gabbing. Just
I really liked his
nonstop.
Character. He was a very honest character. I think that's what I liked about
very
it.
Very honest. Yep.
Yeah.
He didn't beat around the bush. He didn't bullshit. He said, this is what I saw and this is what happened. And pretty much he thought he was dead.
I liked okay. the fact that he was like, I really liked the fact that he's like, I want hot chocolate and honey, and he comes back with hot chocolate and honey, and I thought, and it's because he was such a good procurement of everything, and like,
well, he was a cook and he was awesome at his job. And remember the scene where it was very quick, but like
he opens up,
like,
the,
yeah, he can get us anything.
Yeah,
he opens,
yeah,
he's got sausages everywhere.
I love that.
You know, those were German sausages.
Oh yeah.
And it's
like, very much remind me of like, oh, it's like a traditional flasher. You open up the trench coat and just wieners.
Oh yeah, yeah. Just but dude, how good would that have sight that sight have been when you're sitting there starving in the trenches and he's got
there's this hails to comparison, but I'll just say this: I had a miserable night reenacting, and I for some reason I had in my mind like I would never eat spam, and I was like, no, that's awful stuff. I want to do that, and I remember by like day two of a really bad reenactment. And I don't mean like bad as in like it was a bad reenactment, just a really brutal weather came in.
Yeah, yeah. You're
made
miserable.
It miserable.
You get a taste
of
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And nothing is as good as the cook made black coffee. And I wasn't a big coffee drinker either. Black coffee, spam with potatoes cooked into it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I have never tasted anything so good in my life.
That's the thing. When you're fucking, when you're actually like, a lot of people are like, I'm hungry. And it's like, yeah, you haven't eaten 3 hours. You're not hungry.
No. Like, no, yeah, no. Yeah.
You want to eat. That's the thing. Is but when you're actually hungry,
yeah.
You're like, oh, this shit food. Normally, I would consider shit food is fucking the best in the world.
Do you remember?
It's amazing.
Do you remember when we did combat, Cameron? Did you ever eat any of the rations?
No, I saved them.
Okay,
I still have them. So
it's from the same company that my unit or has ordered from for the last like 15 years. And
yeah, I gave most of mine away to other guys that were more needing of it.
Well, it's a really good company. I can't remember the company's name. Next time I hash it on this, I'll pimp it out. It's a fantastic company. But the guy repros like to the T, you know, modern day stuff and makes it into
a thing.
Oh, they're
good.
But he always gets this fucking like chicken tuna dish that I swear to God, I don't know if it's tuna that tastes like chicken or if it's chicken that tastes like tuna.
It's chicken that tastes like tuna.
I'm like, what is this?
Because James, like when we were in the tent the first night, James, he was like, I'm hungry. And I'm like, I'm good. I had food, you know, whatever. But he also, he's like, I never use a P-38.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I'm going to teach you how to do it really quick. And he was like going backwards, and I was like, how the fuck are you struggling this hard? And finally, when he figured it out, he's like, oh, I need to go this way. Because I'm like, I'm not going to do it for you. I'm going to teach you how to
do it. It's hard to go against the grain on a can opener.
Yeah, but he was going like this and then back.
Right, oh, okay.
Instead
he was
of forward.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
And I'm just like, you got to figure it out. And once he figured it out, he's like, oh, shit, I was doing it the wrong way. He opens it up, and it's just canned chicken. I smelled it from, you know, he was sitting on his cot. I was sitting on mine. And I'm like, that's canned chicken. And he's like, all right. And I'm like, yeah, grab the crackers and shit and like get creative with it and do all that. And it was like kind of a cool experience for him. It's like, this is what a fucking K-Rat would have been in the Second World War. Yeah. So go for it. And then he was like, oh, it's not good, but I'm really hungry. And it actually doesn't taste that bad.
Yeah.
I'm like, exactly.
Yeah, because I had like 2 days of that. And so having the spam, a hot meal of spam and potatoes. Oh,
well, that's the thing. When I was in the military, like we would have MREs and people are like, MREs are really good. Yeah. Try to live on them for an extended period of time. The problem with MREs is they taste chemically and they taste really bland. They taste all the same after a while. That's the same with K-Rats and C-Rats, whatever the fucking shit you're eating. So you get creative with them. And, I when I was in, like, whenever we got hot chow, even though it was horse shit, processed shit, they got cooked in a chow hall and sent out in the field with Marmite cans, it was still like a fucking godsend. It was like, oh my God, thank you so much. Okay, I get to eat cold eggs. Woo! I get to get cold, shitty, soggy hash browns. It's better than a fucking MRE,
I guess.
You know? It's like a morale boost, you know. Get some oatmeal, you know.
I guess. What do you think the equivalent of that? Because at this point, you know, pasture or preserving, you know, ration food. That was the United States thing for World War II. You know, before that, guys were pretty much eating what, like cold ass fucking broth.
No,
and stuff?
So in World War I, really quick, I'm not going to spend too much time because I can go on a fucking rant for a day on this.
I figured it's relevant for the top, so, you know.
It is because, like, okay, so basically in World War I on the Western Front, it was all about procurement. It was all about what you can beg, borrow, and steal from locals, the enemy, whatever, for food. And when the Americans got in there really quick, There was an emergency ration they had. It had hardtack, coffee, and it wasn't a ration per se. Uh-huh. They didn't have any fucking contracted rations. And so in the First World War, the U.S. contracted with like civilian manufacturers, and they sent them green beans, peas. And at that time, Alaska was a territory. But it was a U.S. territory, and they caught a shit fucking ton of salmon, and they canned it, right, to sell. And so they would, they were like, yeah, we want to be part of this. We will help you out anyway. It's protein. It's easy to can and transport. Okay. So they would transport like bully beef, which is mainly from the South America now, but like it's corned beef hash, Libby's and Hormel got all these contracts, as well as like local companies. And so they had local brands shipping all this food over, this canned food over to them. And it was like they were back at home. And they're like, oh shit, I eat this brand back at home. What the fuck? Like, there's no army rations? But they only issued rations if they didn't have a field kitchen near them. If they're going on the offensive, they would put rations in their pack. And same with the French. Like, in World War One, in World War II to an extent, and it was kind of the same, actually. No, it's the same now. The cooks were tasked with beg, borrowing, or stealing any ingredients they could find on all sides, every country. And cooking it there as close to the troops as possible and getting them hot chow. Rations were like a last resort kind of thing. Like, oh, we're fucked. We can't get hot chow up here because the sector's too hot, blah, blah, blah. And rations were not well liked for obvious reasons. And hot chow was there as much as it could be.
Okay.
And so same with the French, and that's why they would get that big fucking mess kit looking thing. I forgot what the fuck it's called. And they would pour like stew or soup in there. Another guy would carry the bread. And another guy would carry like fucking vegetables and stuff like that with him. And that was your chow. You know, that was your hot chow, mm-hmm. I guess. And in this film, they showed that, you know, this cook acquired a bunch of sausage, and it's like that is a fucking win day.
yeah
it's like that is a win, like, you know, I've got my whole fucking coat lined with sausages. We're gonna be eating well for the next day or two.
I love that shot. That's probably my favorite shot of the whole of the whole movie.
Oh yeah, but it's also true. Yeah. Like all sides did it. They didn't acquire shit, you know. Oh fuck, look what I got a fucking huge wheel of cheese. Bam. We're eating good for the next couple of days, you know, and but it's also they had to deal with keeping it not sterile, but a sanitary.
Yeah.
You know, because those conditions, and I do like the fact that they showed it in this film, is I think this is one of the better films that shows like how shitty and muddy and just rainy and full of water and how pitiful those trenches were.
I liked when anytime someone, we get like a close-up shot of someone hitting the mud, like falling over dead or something like that, or just falling over in general. The mud is like this soup that
yep.
they sink into, you know. It's not just like, and then like a little puddle. It's like someone guy gets shot in the back and he falls just, and kind yep, of sinks down. Into it.
Done.
Know? Yeah.
And then the body rots and they get to smell that and then try to identify it by his tags. Like It showed, it's a taste of like, I think it's one of the better tastes in Hollywood or, you know, cinematography is in general of just how absolutely fucking unforgiving every part of that conflict was.
Yeah.
For the average Joe sitting in a trench or in the woods or whatever. And then, so the self-mutilation thing was a big problem at that point. I'm actually glad they lined that time up because by late 1916, the French army had fucking had it.
Mm-hmm.
The guys who had survived, they had fucking had it. And in 1917, they had a mutiny.
Oh, that's and right. Yeah, they just had refused. That like, massive, yep. right. I forgot about that.
And so this is right before that. You know, this takes place like in January of 17. And it's right before all that shit went down. And the French army was getting its ass kicked, but it was still holding. Like, nobody expected them to be able to hold what they were up against, and they still did. They threw bodies at it. They held out, and it's like, okay. And the Germans were the same way. Like they couldn't figure out why the fuck they were there at a certain point. And you know, in 1917 was, I mean, the war gets progressively worse depending on how you look at it. It just gets fucking worse. 'Cause it's like, okay, this many people died in 14, this many people died in 15. And then 15, it's like, well, let's introduce some new weapons. Oh, another thing that was out of place, the Renault.
I was going to say the tank.
Yeah. That came out in 1917, like early mid. Yeah, it wasn't fucking present.
Mike, you should see what I'm going to use for the for the episode's background.
Yes, do it.
I still have the rental because I rented this, so I was able to get a screenshot of it. I'm going to use this in the back.
if our fucking mess sergeant came up to us when we were fucking hungry as shit and presented that, I'd be like, I literally will blow you.
Ask me
care.
About my wiener.
No, he's got all that fucking good protein. It's like, you done well.
No, I loved. No, this movie, like, it really did grow on me as it progressed, and I think it's because there was no war stuff, man. It was pretty hard hitting. All the way around, like gruesome, hard hitting. Not didn't shy around.
I think the one scene that got me. Let's talk about this really quick before I forget. Is the one where the main kid, her fiance, right? When they said there was one shell too many, and he's like trying to get his friend out of the wire, and that fucking round goes off, and then he's spitting out his friend's innards.
But,
and he's covered in it. That's when he lost his fucking mind. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think anybody would lose their fucking mind at that point.
Yeah.
That's so fucked. Yeah. I mean, he's literally like...
human remains of your comrade,
You got bones and shit in your mouth, and you're just like trying to spit it out and like rub it off of you, and then that's it. Like, it, you know, that was really brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, that one was brutal. I thought the collage, fuck my brain. I'm close to the words I want to use tonight, but I'm not. The montages of the injuries of the start of the film, where it's just like, you know, it's more brutal than like you guys have talked about, like the guy blows his hand off, unfortunately, with the Webley, whether he meant to or not, or Webley, Ruby, and you know, and then like I think the one that got me was the welder who just like stares at the Hotchkiss.
Yeah, that's what I'd mentioned.
And then just puts his hand on it. Yeah,
the gun's like going off, and he's just like sitting right next to the barrel, not even like flinching at all. Then he just grabs it,
and it's glowing too at that point. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's fucking red hot, and it's like, because that was after that scene where that guy just grabbed his rifle and stabbed that German kid that like gave up his rifle, and it's like, oh, I'm dealing with some psychopaths here. I don't like this. And then he's just like, I got to get out of here.
And that's what I mean by very French, like those camera angles and stuff like that. It's very interesting. Sorry, Mike. Oh, God.
He was trying to like tell people something, but I said he wasn't a good speaker or something like that.
Well, he was trying to tell people that the poor people like us make the guns that are shooting at us and shooting at the enemy.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. But no one would listen to him.
Because they were all drunk.
Right. It's just like,
you know, they all had wine, and it's like, that's how you decompress. Like, I've talked to a lot of vets that were like, if you weren't fucked up on something, you couldn't make it.
They
kind of
said that with that guy who came, Jodie Foster's husband. Because he's like, this is how we got through the day. Wine. Did I tell you I used my buddy as a shield? Did I tell you that I, like...
Oh, that scene was fucked up, too. But, like, it's realistic. It is,
I know accounts of that, where they're like, they didn't come home the same, and they're all talking about, like, stuff like, oh, yeah, firecrackers, and all my buddy. I saw these two guys' cartridge belts explode off of them.
Oh, that was really... Too,
That whole sequence was really interesting to me. I really liked that.
It's a good juxtaposition of, like, doing a mystery romance story along, but it ties directly into the war. It's like figuring out what the fuck happened. And they did the scenes very well for the war part of it.
Yeah.
And everything overall, but like, it's like, it was just, I think this is probably the most accurate and close representation of the French experience on the Western Front in the First World War that I've seen on film.
Right. Well, I think the only one we can compare it to is that Christmas one? which is also a romance movie.
No, I thought it was, from what I could tell, I thought it was very well done in the, you know, when it came to the war stuff, from what I could tell.
Well, they got the barbed wire right, too. Like, I always tell you, like, they had, like, barbs every, like, inch, basically, or, like, they were almost together. Mm-hmm. They got that shit right in this film.
I think, again, it's, like, just the practical effects really, 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 really help. The CG is there, and it helps in certain scenarios, but it's very 2000s. Tossing the grenade up into the...
That, I was just going to bring that up. Yeah, that's fucking retarded.
Well, the part with the balloon exploded, too, was pretty...
Oh, yeah, the
hospital
scene.
You get an X-ray shot of the bomb trigger going and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's cliche. Everyone's screaming, freaking out. It's just like...
Yeah.
Right, and he hides underneath a bunch of shit because he knows it's coming, apparently. But it's like... That was very French film.
Yeah.
We'll just put it
that way. Yeah. Yeah. That's when I kind of went, okay. Cool.
There were several scenes that did that kind of shit where I'm just like, what the fuck? Why? But it's like, it was balanced out by really good scenes. And then it's like, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
You know, it was funny. I looked up the numbers. It said it only made 100,000 its opening. I think it's opening week, which is not bad.
100,000? They put 56 mil into this.
I know, it's not, that's not the gross. The gross income is different. The gross income's like 64 million.
Okay, so they made a few bucks. Okay.
Yeah. It I looked it up. They like when they made their money going worldwide. I'm glad it went somewhere because, again, it's those scenes and some of the detectiveness of it that I really liked. Overall.
Yeah, it's just like you're sitting there going, well, is she ever going to find him? Is he dead?
Right, and she does find him. He is alive, but...
He's dead.
Yeah, he's basically dead. And I knew it was going to be some answer like that. It was not going to be one or the other. It was going to...
Well, when one of the guys said, like, you know, I died in that trench, and so did he.
Right.
I was like, yeah, he's going to be a fucking vegetable.
Yeah.
And... I mean, rightfully so. Like, that, you experienced that. They said he was losing his mind already.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't fucking expect a human being to go through that shit and not be affected. If they do, they're completely numb to the world, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Insanity.
I think the only thing historically that I could have nicked was the scope sight for when he gets shot in the hand.
Oh, that was... That was so fucking stupid.
The German Maxim gun looked a little strange to me when I saw it for a second.
It looked weird. I didn't pay attention enough.
Yeah.
Like long enough because I was like, oh, we gotta fucking watch this thing.
But, yeah, but the barrel, like the barrel was going through the top of the water jacket instead of like the bottom. It was a little strange.
Oh really? Yeah. We'll.
Yeah. Oh, we're here.
IMFDB. Okay. Let's just get on that. Oh,
la France! Hey guys, Nate here. This week's going to be very simple because Brian's not here and I don't know that much about the subject. So, sticker trivia this week is, who was the commander of the French army at the beginning of World War I? First person to send a message to our Facebook or Instagram pages has a chance to win the sticker trivia for this week.
En avant!
Do it.
It's long. That's why.
Yeah, there's a lot.
So
Ruby.
The Ruby, which I thought was really cool. Because it's the 32. It's not the 25, it's the 32.
Yeah, it's the one that I have, yeah. Yeah, it's the 1915 kind of commission version. Yep.
Luger PO8, which was what the guy who got shot by the glasses gun.
Whatever you want to call that,
which I think
that scene whole scene was retarded.
Well, yes. it's because right. That was just the guy who shot the guy who surrendered, right?
Yeah,
that guy, yeah,
yeah.
I liked how the guy had a revolver, a LaBelle revolver.
Yeah, the MLE. Yeah, the 1892 was a very common weapon.
Talking about guys who were out of it though, that was interesting too. Where this guy's kicking dead bodies, running around.
Oh, yeah, he's done.
Yeah, he's fucked.
And this guy's like, he's gonna get us all killed, so I'm just gonna kill him.
Yeah.
cut our losses, you know? Yeah, the Mark VI, when he pulled it out of that guy's holster, like, it's not totally impossible. It's just highly unlikely. Mm. Highly unlikely.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, he's blowing rocks through it.
Yeah.
It's a weird scene. Very French.
Yeah, very French.
It's funny. Yeah, when you watch some European movies, like, as an, you know, as an American, you know, audience, sometimes you're just like, what? What was that?
I'm pretty indifferent on that scene. Like, it might have happened. It, who knows? Like,
right.
You know, people are under that much fucking duress. He's about to be executed, he thinks, and then...
There's just, yeah, but, like, there's just weird shit sometimes in the movie. Like, I love it when the dog farts or something like that.
Yep. It's
like, well, that's supposed, I guess this is supposed to be funny, but all right.
French.
It's just a sanity thing, I guess. Yeah. But, like, yeah.
I loved this, how this, the Shamlot was in there.
What is that?
So that's the guns that Brendan Fraser uses in The Mummy. It's the revolver before the LaBelle, the French LaBelle revolver. It's the model right before that. So yeah.
Oh, that's what she uses to
shoot
the glass.
She's a
also not a bad looking gal either.
No, she's a predominant. She's a French actor. I can't remember her name.
Yeah,
she's been
in
a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Good to look at.
Yeah, I know. I love a girl in leggings.
Jesus. Yeah. So this one was.
Oh, that's Smith and Wesson. That's what she used for the belt gun.
Oh, for the belt gun. Yeah. Double action 32.
Yeah.
Yeah, 32 is not going to drop somebody that quick, but hey, it's film.
It was a heart shot.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Totally nailed it first try. Berthier.
Yeah, 715.
Yeah, 715s. I miss mine. I need to get another one.
Yeah, I got an M16, but it's...
Tell you what, man. If I'm shooting my hand, I'm not going to have the muzzle facing my head. Like, I mean, maybe I'll lose a finger or two, but I'm not going to lose my fucking hearing.
I like how this one... I like how this one... chickened out and this one and he didn't.
Is that what happened? I don't remember.
Yeah, because
when they both shot each other.
No, he chickens out, he moves his hand at the last minute, he fires it and misses, and he fires it and hits his hand.
Oh, okay.
Which I think is really interesting.
Yeah, I didn't catch that.
I wouldn't want to do that shit either.
Yeah. I was eyeballing the LaBelles or sorry, the Berthiers, and trying to see what was
Berthiers.
What. Berthiers. Sorry, I call it Berthiers.
Berthier.
I know. I call it Berthiers. I know it's wrong. It's Berthier.
Okay.
Drink a gallon of milk. Is that what that is?
No, it's water. Like, he's drinking fucking water.
Oh, I almost spat. I almost spat water everywhere.
Does this look like milk to you, Mike?
The lighting on Renate, he held that up. It looks white as hell. Okay?
Milk was a bad choice.
Look at that. That looks like a gallon of milk.
It looks like a gallon of fucking water, you fucking retard.
It is opaque white, okay?
Yeah, but the liquid in there is fucking, it's not milk. It's not white.
I almost spat that everywhere. I'm so glad I did not do that.
Spat milk
That's
everywhere.
That's what she said.
And then she died.
It was gasoline.
I loved the shot. The going reverse on the trench with everyone pulling out their bayonets. There must have been over 200 people in there.
And all the uniforms were good to go.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that when he's like, bayonet au canon, you know, which means like fixed bayonets. It literally translates to bayonet on the muzzle or on the gun.
Hmm.
It's funny as shit, but like that's the order for fixed bayonets, right? And then it just goes down. They're repeating the order like they actually did. It's going down. There's that backtrack. That was a fucking awesome scene.
Yeah, it was a really good cinematography.
Yeah. It was. That was in that trench
and,
too.
And impressive sets and impressive equipping that many guys with bayonets and rifles.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, and they were all correct. I could not find a single rifle.
I was trying to see if there were LaBelles, but I don't think there were.
No, they're Berthiers.
No, and I know that. I was just saying, like, not knowing that right. now, but like as I was watching it, like I was trying to see if there was any like.
Well, me too. I was like, is it going to be one single, you know, 1886-93? But there wasn't, and it's like, well, some units were issued fucking Berthiers, and it's that fucking scene was so good.
Yeah.
And it's just, and then they just go to their fucking slaughter.
Like, yeah, clearly.
For what, you know? And
God. Oh, the
16 carbine.
Yeah. Was,
go down a little bit.
It's from the guys on the bikes.
That's not correct.
Yeah, when the carbines have been post.
Well, the 16s came out and they were used. They were actually implemented like on the field in like late 1918. Mid to late 1918, so this is not correct for this. They would have had an M92 or an M90 without the magazine, basically. Okay, so the 1886, 93. Where, who had that?
On the wall on the right. I'm going to show you right there.
Okay, yeah, so yeah. There's one, yep. Not out of the ordinary at all. They use the same ammo, all that shit. The Berthier obviously uses the packets, but yeah, so the G98, yep. Yeah, his fucking helmet was awesome. That is, you see a lot of pictures of like younger soldiers, especially at this point, like late 16, early 17, mm-hmm. that they've got a mis-sized helmet, but it's better too big than too small.
Mm. What kind of bayonet does he have on his G98?
That, zoom in. Oh, it's a 9805.
Okay. That's not a butcher's blade, is it?
Yeah, the butcher blade, yep.
I thought the butcher blade didn't have a flute.
No, it does.
Okay.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
But yeah, his helmet is Austrian, which is funny.
Huh.
That's because you see the rivet on the right below the right vent.
There. Yeah. Yep.
It's supposed to be on an M16 or, you know, M16 to 17 Stahlhelm. It's going to be lower for the chin strap. That's an Austrian helmet, which is interesting.
Interesting.
But.
Hot
the MLA-14. Yeah. Also, where was the fucking feed tray in this scene?
I thought I saw it eating it up as he was shooting.
I didn't. I actually watched that twice.
Okay.
I didn't see the feed tray. It's also a colonial troop, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah. We saw a couple of those with their eyes covered, like they just yep. in a gas
Yeah,
attack.
No, that's 100% accurate. Yeah.
Yep.
So that's really fucking cool. What?
Yeah, I knew that thing looked weird. Like,
yeah, it looked like they were trying to make it look like an air cool MG08.
Yeah, but like the barrel is coming out the top of the water jacket, or the in this case the air cool jacket.
Huh. Yeah.
So an FN for audio guys, it's FN Mag 58 that's on top of the Albatross plane mock up. As an MG14.
I think it's in the trench too. We see it in the trench. Yep,
yeah, we'll right see.
There. Oh, then yeah, yep. There you go. That's why that 08 you said it looked weird.
Yeah, I was like,
he's right.
And
he's
the
right.
Barrel should be down. It shouldn't be in like up like yep. that.
No, he's right. That's yeah. 100%.
Show. What was that?
Yep, that's definitely
right there. Yeah,
here, right there on the right. Another thing, really quick, is like the tactics that were shown in the film, as far as like going over the top. It wasn't just like this mass. Charge. Okay, so by early 17, what the French did is they would send grenadiers first, okay, who literally had a pistol and a bunch of grenades, and they would send them up and they would cover the fuck out of them with machine gun fire and all that stuff and artillery, blah blah blah, and the grenadiers would get as close to the German lines or whoever they're fighting lines as possible and just start chucking grenades. While they got there, they would send up a second wave, which had the Shoshos and the assistant gunners and everything, and they would go to the middle of the no man's land, however long it was. They'd go to the middle and set up, and they would start laying down fire again. And then the third wave would be infantry with rifles and bayonets and shit like that. So these grenadiers are sitting up there chucking fucking umpteen grenades that they have in their bread bags and shit, keeping the fucking Germans down, like the machine gun specifically, from shooting at them. And then that would give the Shosho gunners, the light machine gunners, enough time to set up in the middle. And then they would start laying down fire once the grenades ran out. That was how they worked. That's how they taught us. They taught the Americans how to do the same tactics. And it does work. You take a shitload of losses, but it does and it can work. And then your infantry goes through and your Shosho gunners have to stop, obviously, when they're in front of them. But then your infantry goes into the quote-unquote softened up, like, enemy position. And then they jump in, and then they do a second wave of infantry with rifles and bayonets to go while the Shosho gunners are, like, cleaning up shit and whatever. So this whole, like, in the film, they just all went at once with different specializations. That's inaccurate. Again, that can be overlooked as far as just trying to do a representation of the First World War and, you know, how the French poilus were actually doing combat. That can be overlooked for the untrained eye, in my opinion, because it just gives the same impression, because it doesn't matter if that guy's holding the fucking CSRG 15 or grenades, they got cut down pretty fucking quick.
Yeah. Yeah. They really did show that, like, how much they were knocking them out.
Just fucking, it's a fucking lambs to the slaughter thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it's just fucking insane. And it didn't just happen with the French. The Germans, when they would go and hit the French lines, you get the Hotchkisses, you got the fucking whatever they've got. They're going to cut them down just the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so do an attack. Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. Finish.
No, go ahead.
I went back and looked at the footage of the Hotchkiss. You can see the ammo going inside it as it's shooting.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Because I wanted to see if that was like a mock-up or something. Yep.
No, I might have missed that. So
makes sense, because they probably had more access, being a French production, to have an actual Hotchkiss versus.
That was fucking awesome. Yeah. Because that thing, the Americans use that shit a lot too. Like the 32nd, like the unit that I, you know, was in and I portray, also use Hotchkiss 1914s.
Hmm. Yeah. Nice.
And Shoshos and whatever. They had a lot of French weaponry. And yeah, it worked. The MG08.
Big ass.
I love those, dude, because like at my local gun shop, there's a full auto one for sale, and it's like it's got everything, the tripod, nice. Like all, it's survived. It's just fucking legit. So it looks like they have them in the backgrounds here, but they don't have.
Yeah, because that's a close up of one.
Right, and also it's like what's befonged, what's not.
Right.
Exactly.
And it's like they. That could be an actual, like a real one that they had some guy bring in to put there as a set piece.
You know, yeah. Something. Most likely.
Yep.
Oh, what?
We promise we're not going to shoot it. We just want it to look good.
Is this what it's talking about? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a French grenade. The Mike, say that word. I can't.
I'm going to butcher this. Contrefie Barbelé.
See, I would have been like Contre Phil Barbelle.
Yeah, yeah. Good old Barbelle.
Contre Phil Barbelle.
Yeah.
Gorlami.
Yeah, Gorlami.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah. Dude, in World War One, really quick, every fucking side, they came out with a billion different versions of offensive and defensive grenades. Mm-hmm. Holy fuck. You see so many different things. Some of them, they made like a couple hundred thousand of them. They're like, oh, we made them, so go out and use them. Right. The contract was not renewed because they're like, yeah, these things suck, but they're like, we're still going to issue them. And that was all sides. They were trying to come up with the perfect fucking hand grenade for every situation. And it's like, well, okay.
The Citrong Fong... Fog
Modèle
MLE 1916. Yeah. That's an
awesome. Yeah, that was a legit grenade that they used. That was an offensive grenade.
Oh,
no, defensive.
Oh, is that what he used for the... Oh, okay.
Yep, for the plane.
Oh, so that was like a cap. Okay, and then you pull the cap off.
Yeah, you pull the cap off, and it's like a Type 97 Japanese grenade. It's like a pop. And then
right, and then you toss it up.
You hit the primer.
That's a hell of a move.
Yeah.
Yeah, that airplane. That's like a fucking one in a million chance.
Hey, the fuse is a little longer. What happens?
Yeah, you're fucking dead. You might be dead anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's
basically an airburst, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, the pitar. Yeah, the racket grenade, yeah.
The pitard.
Pitar. Yeah.
Pitard.
Petard.
We're an American. We speak America here.
We speak American here.
Pitard. It sounds like pitard. A type of giant dog or something.
Pitard grenade. Pitard. Oh, shit. So go down. This is gonna be fun. I didn't notice this. I didn't catch this.
Oh, they're...
Hey, so, they used a different picture there, Mike. It's not the same one.
That's actually an M24.
Yeah, nice. It's not the one that like you constantly start foaming at the mouth because it's the wrong
bitching
one.
Bitching about? Yeah. No, that's an actual M24. That's good.
Where was that? Oh, on the sets.
They're on the floor.
Okay, yeah.
I did not catch that, so.
What? Oh, Model 17.
I got Haganata.
Haganata?
It's an egg grenade.
Okay.
Egg grenade. I sell repros of those.
Interesting.
Yep, those are offensive grenades.
I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know that was a World War I design.
They're literally the size of an egg. They're not that big.
Mm-hmm.
And they were an offensive grenade because I don't want to go into the difference between offensive and defensive grenades.
Wasn't it more like it had more shrapnel effect versus the 24?
No,
right?
Concussive.
Oh, concussive. Okay. Yeah, German grenades are almost always concussive, right? Not
offensive German grenades.
Okay,
yes.
Got it.
So that's the thing is because okay, how do I sum this up really quick? Offensive grenades were used when they were going to doing a raid or something where mm-hmm. they were going to throw them in front to stun the enemy and also kill them. Like it does have frag to it. Don't
right.
get me wrong. But it's less likely that your own guys are going to get hit with frag. And so they would use offensive grenades while they were storming a place or like trying to take over a place. And they'd throw it like fucking 15, 20 feet in front of them. And that's how the egg grenades were good because they were small and you could throw them far.
Mm.
They'd give enough concussion and kind of blast effect and frag effect to like stun the guys. You get in there, you fucking bayonet them or shoot them or whatever, and then you're good to go. Now, defensive grenades, they were made to fragment a lot more because that's when the other guys are coming over to your trench. You throw them out front, and then there's frag everywhere, including, you know, mixed with their artillery and everything. It's just a fucking whirlwind of steel, and it's just awful. So, yeah, the Waffengranate, 15.
The only thing yeah. I know these exist was from Battlefield 1.
Yeah, those things were a fucking bitch.
Yeah. They're really cool, though. They're really interesting.
Yep.
Huh? Oh. The
right there.
I was going to say, this isn't that.
Yep. No, because they said they took the German trench. So that was a German trench at one point.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the 7.5, 75 millimeter.
Minenwerfer.
Yeah, Minenwerfer. Those things were fucking awful as well.
Ugh. Wow.
Mortier.
French mortar.
it's basically the same thing.
Oh, that's what that thing was in the field. Yep. Okay, yeah.
Yep.
You see it's loaded right there.
Wow.
Yep. Those fucking things. Ugh, yeah.
That's what that is right there.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I said. Like, is that big thing?
Oh, yeah, so the 155, the Schneider. Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yep. The French used the hell out of those.
And you said this Renault tank should not be there.
That's really early. Okay. It wouldn't have been out there. In my opinion, of
right.
course. Yeah, the VB.
Oh, that's
the,
cool.
The MBS, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Again, those guys would have been in the first wave, more than likely. Some of them would have been with the infantry as well, but most likely they would have been in the first wave launching as the actual hand grenadiers went up.
Right.
They'd be launching grenades to, like, get the guys' fucking heads down while the grenadiers could get close enough.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But, well, the U.S. used those as well on both patterns of rifles, on the 17 and the 03. Because that's the one that uses a live round.
Right.
That you shoot through the grenade and then it pops it out of the cup and then arms it at the same time. So,
Flare gun?
Oh, flare gun, yeah.
Dude,
I missed that
look at
too.
This graffiti.
Yeah, with the tits.
Oh, that's hilarious. I just see that till now.
Oh, nice.
That's
yeah.
great. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's. Yeah. I didn't notice that.
I didn't notice
yeah.
that
awesome.
Either, yeah. Yeah, there's the flare.
Oh,
gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, guys never change.
Yeah.
Soldiers never change. It's fucking. You find pictures of dicks and everything, like so and so is here from every fucking person who was a soldier.
I love the set person, whoever did this movie.
The sets and the costumes are really fucking well done.
Yeah.
Especially for 2004, my God. Like, there wasn't a single fucking M26 helmet that I saw. It was all M15 helmets. And they were the correct color. And it was really fucking well done.
Two different French guns.
Yeah, that's probably a 75. Hmm. Yeah, it's a 75. That was one of the most common guns used by the Americans because the French were like, hey, we have a shitload of them. We just don't have the guys to fucking man them. So here you go. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, very cool. So.
Final thoughts?
Yeah.
So who's going first? Me?
Yeah, you. You open your fucking cock hole.
Like
here,
always.
So it's your turn.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah. I'm glad I saw this. I thought it was very interesting. I've never heard of it before, so it was very unique in terms of, if you want to call it a war movie, obviously war slash romance. And for being a romance, I didn't think it was a bad romance at all. Like I say,
Lady Gaga would be proud.
What the fuck is that supposed to mean?
Are you horse fucking me right now?
I don't. What
bad
are you referencing?
Romance, Lady Gaga.
I don't know any of Lady Gaga's music. God damn it! Well, that's not, I don't listen to that shit.
He's an uncultured fuck.
I guess I'm the asshole then.
You think I know fucking Lady Gaga, Christ. Dude? Why would I know Lady Gaga?
He wound up and he backhanded you.
That's fucked. Okay, that's fine.
I apologize for not knowing Lady Gaga.
Well,
anyway.
You should.
I should.
Continue on with your goddamn final thoughts, cockbag.
Thank
pa,
you.
Pa, pa, poker face, pa, pa, poker face. Nah, 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 nah.
See, I don't know what any of that is.
I don't know any of the goddamn music that the goddamn kids are listening to nowadays. Back in my day, we had Waylon Jennings and The Who.
which is hilarious because Lady Gaga is technically probably millennial boomer music now, technically.
Uh-huh.
Because music ages like three times as fast as
Well,
as
music
anything.
Is dog shit these days, unless you actually really look for it. But
we've talked about this, and I agree with you.
I agree.
For the most part, it's dog shit, and it's not because I'm a fucking boomer. It's just shit that's good, I'm into it. It's good. It's either good or it's not.
It's just difficult. It's more difficult to find. But, okay,
Anyway, sorry, sidetracked.
Anyway. I'm glad I saw it. I thought it was good for what it was. It's interesting, very different. And like I say, even though it's very French at times. I thought it was, I'm glad I saw it. And I thought the stuff that was really good in it was stuff that was good in it was really good. And I was impressed with it. So I'm going to go with a 7.1 out of 10. Yeah. All right.
Cool.
I'll pass it along to Mike.
Yeah, it's for portraying World War One from the French perspective, which really isn't done at all, because everybody's just like, "Oh, the French, you fucking white flag surrender and shit." It's like, no, you don't understand what they did.
Goddamn surrender monkeys.
Yep, exactly, and all that shit. It was cool, and then also like you said, it's not really a romance story. It's more of a, it's very well done as far as like. She's just trying to find her dude.
Yeah.
It turns out not great because he's a vegetable. And he's just like completely fucked from the whole thing. But, it's like she finds him. That's good. Spoiler alert. So we have the fucking intro, clowns. No, it's like that shit was tolerable. Like if it would have been like a fucking romance thing that was just unbearably shitty. Like you said, Mike, I think about 25 minutes could have been cut out from it.
Right.
And I agree with you on that 100%. But as far as like the whole story itself and then just the actual scenes in the combat and shit and like the uniforms and all that stuff, the sets, both military and civilian, fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, really good. Really, really well done. The acting was, I thought, very well done. I didn't really find anything. And Jodie Foster, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that came out of nowhere.
That was weird to me, because I was like I told you earlier, I was like, that looks like Jodie Foster. Then I looked it up, and I'm like, oh, fuck, it was. But she did a good job, too. Like, it's, she blended right in with everyone else.
She did a very good job. Yeah, she did.
You into Foster, dude?
And my old and my younger years, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, she looked good in this, too.
I never knew that was even a thing that I could look up. And, man, I knew this. I wish this movie existed in 2004, because I could have really used that.
Nate's got a... Yeah. It's got a Jodie Foster thing going on.
Well, I'll do another spoiler, Nate, and yeah. This really might be hard for you to hear, but yeah. She's a carpet muncher, dude.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, she...
Oh, I know. Look, a man can dream, you know? It's fine.
No, I agree. Jodie, she looked good in this film. She acted well. So did everyone else. Like, it was not over the top. It was just... Even though it was French, right? Which is very surprising. Again, the sets were great. The whole storyline was cool. And again, I cannot figure out or like think of another film that even portrays World War One French conditions and the combat style in as good of a light that they did, even though they had their, we talked about some of the fucking flaws and historical inaccuracies and all that shit. But so with that, I'm actually giving it an 8-1.
Decent, as Brian says.
As Brian would say, it's a movie.
It's a movie.
It's a movie.
Oh, it is? Well,
hold on. It's a movie. People talk in rooms.
Get them all out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a product of its time.
It's a product of its time. It's a product of its time. Yeah. Yeah. There. Brian's here, everybody. he's going to kill me for that.
I'm going to give it a 9.8.
Yeah. this movie is trash. I'm gonna give it a 9.9.
Yeah, 20.
Yeah, out of 20.
Fucking Sean. Yeah.
Oh god. Yeah.
I did hear that. That was funny.
Yeah, that was really. That was really funny.
I'm gonna give it a 7.8.
Out of 20?
Out of 20? Like, and he was genuine, because all of our faces, I was sitting here, I was like...
That's why I laughed, just because all of our faces, my mouth dropped on that. if you want to know what we're talking about, it was Alexander.
There we Alexander,
go.
So yeah.
Go take that one a watch. Yeah, no, I mean, like, you know, again, like, when this was proposed, I'm like, oh, great, Passchendaele 2.0. You know, just it'll have some cool little scenes, and then it'll be about, you know, dang it, Rocky B, why won't you love me? Like that kind of thing. So I was just like, all right, let's just get it over with. But no, I was very pleasantly surprised every step of the way. Again, I think I agree with you two. I think it could have about 20 minutes cut out of it. And I think it could be like a really solid, like really awesome film. It suffers from, you know, early aughts romance film, but I think the fact that it is a French European film is what saves it. There is some wonderful cinematography, some really interesting stylistic choices that I think you can only get in a European French film of any age. Not to ruin it, but we have recently done another French film that, although I think the cinematography is great, I need a fucking decoder ring to understand the goddamn thing. And this is a good example of not needing that. And I think that's what I like about this. I think the practicals are really great. I think the story for the most part is very interesting, suspenseful for what it is. I was very pleasantly surprised. I think I'm going to give this one, an even 7 Scream Mel Gibson's out of 10. I think it deserves that. I think what it lacks in some areas, or what I don't necessarily like to watch, I think it really does emphasize everything I like to watch, that I have interest in and everything. So, yeah, I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10.
So putting the scores into the computer that's going to tell us whether the French and British win the Battle of the Somme, we get a score of 7.4 out of 10. Hmm. So overall, not bad.
Yeah, I'd recommend this 100%.
Yep. It's worth the watch. It's such a unique film. It's not your standard war film. It's not your standard romance film. It's not your standard mystery film. It's like all three very well combined, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think like, honestly, like, if I were to be a little bit less, like, less picky in some of the things I'm picky about, I would say it's a healthy 8. You know? Like,
seven and a half's not bad.
No, round up a whole number for this one, just in general, in terms of, like, what I recommend. Because, I mean,
yeah.
And this is also something I think we talked about. I can't remember what film it was, but all four of us agreed, like, this is like when there's like the romance film thing in this, you know, I think we might have talked about it with Passchendaele. Like, this is how you get your wife, your girlfriend, your whatever, someone significant other into watching a war film. Because I mean, my wife is forgiving for the most part, but she can only take me doing giant sighs and going, "Oh my God, are you kidding me?" so many times.
Right.
You know, so at least there's an engagement point to the story for someone else.
I actually told Sophie earlier, I'm like, I'll rewatch this with you. I think you'd like it, you know, because it appeals to a very broad audience, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you could definitely, if you're a nerd like us who likes war films, this is a good combination of a bunch of shit that your wife, girlfriend, significant other, whoever it is, would probably enjoy as well. Because it's not all about war. It's not all about romance. And it's just, again, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it.
It's very gruesome. Warning.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Words that are gruesome are fucking gruesome.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's like it goes from 0 to 100 in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
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 But it's like, you know, that's the thing is, you know, why I gave it, you know, the score is like it, because those scenes were done very well, but it's actually pertinent and relevant to the story.
Yeah.
This whole film tells a story. And I like that. I don't like films and series where it's just there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, this has a story from beginning to end.
And it's engaging all the way from start to end.
Yeah, it's definitely a weird, very weird film. But yeah,
very French.
It is, yeah, of course.
Le film.
Yeah. Je ne sais quoi.
Je ne sais quoi.
Je ne sais quoi.
Surprised I didn't say fin at the end.
Fini.
It's finished. So. All right, well, you guys got anything else?
I think I'm good. This one's a shorter one tonight, but, you know, man down. But I think it's great. Give it a watch.
Yeah.
We always say that it goes into our recommended bracket. I would recommend
7.4 out of 10s. It's worth the watch, especially with this, you know, somebody that, you know, you doesn't like war movies like you do, but like there's something for everyone, I think.
Yeah, the combination films tend to not score so high in terms of genres for us. So the fact that this one's so high on that level, I think it's definitely worth a watch.
I agree. So I'd recommend this.
Yeah.
So,
dude, all right. We don't have a quote. Well, we don't have a. Where's Brian? What was the quote in that fucking movie?
Do you know French?
No.
What the fuck was the name of the trench? Fucking
Yankee Dandy Dew.
Bingo, wasn't it? Or something like that.
Bingo, what the fuck?
Bingo Long and the Traveling All-Stars Motor King.
What in the whole chicken fried fuck are you babbling about now?
That's a movie from the 70s.
Why the fuck would you even waste time saying that?
Because why not? You're like, bingo or something. I just thought, that just came to my mind. The movie with Billy Dee Williams and James Earl Jones and Richard Pryor.
What was it? Bingo
Long and the Traveling All-Stars and Motor Kings.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, I forgot about the masseuse that, like, massages her body. Ugh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The fucking rating on Rotten Tomatoes is 7.4 out of 10.
Hey!
That's fucking insane.
Nailed
we got
it.
The exact same score. Yeah.
Mike, I found it. It's Bingo C-R-E Crepuscle.
Fuck. Here's going to be my quote for the week.
Opus Christi.
See... Bingo, C-R-E-P-U-S-C-U-L-E.
No.
Crepuscle.
No. Listen, penis.
What?
Here's my quote for the week. When the gendarmes show up at your house, fucking run.
Yeah.
Don't go to war. You'll end up a vegetable.
Have six kids.
Yeah, that's really good. Have six kids.
And then have your buddy cuck you.
Have your buddy fuck your wife, not be successful.
And then be mad about it.
Yes.
Yes.
That's a great one, too. A lot of good quotes. That's so fucked up, though, like, thinking about that. Like, the desperation is just like, God damn.
But hey,
but
it's a movie. People talking in rooms.
Most likely.
It's a product of its time.
It's interesting. It's interesting.
It's a movie.
That's my favorite.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Well, Brian, you're still in no man's land this week, bud.
Well, dude,
hopefully you can find your way back.
When you've done 100 episodes, almost 100 episodes together, you tend to find the patterns.
Yeah. It's nothing against anybody.
Yeah.
It's just how it is.
No, it's fucking... Yeah, we've done this a lot. So, all right, everybody, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week on Scuttlebutt.
Out of 20?
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to leave a rating. Otherwise, Mel Gibson won't stop screaming. If you like this content, make sure to check out our Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram pages. If you want to directly support our work, make sure to check out our Patreon. All these links are in the description below. Until the next time, Scuttlebutt out.